Hi, my name is Greg Bernstein, and my co-author is Jung Lee. I'm from a little consulting firm, Grotto Networking. I've been working in the area of GMPLS since I think I gave my first GMPLS presentation in the year 2000, Adelaide, Australia, and have deployed that many instances in core networks, optical networks. So we're interested in getting people to use our dynamic big bandwidth pipe networks better. And when we started looking around how to do that, next slide, please, we hit this idea about getting the application stratum, you know, where all the servers and the data centers, the CDNs, being able to talk better to us plumbers. We're the guys that do the optical pipes. We do the multiple wavelengths of optical pipes or the stuff underneath everything. We're the plumbers, okay? And that area really comes under, you saw it a little bit before on the CDN where he said, I don't want to understand too much about IGP and stuff like that and TE. When you talk about traffic engineering and setting up those big pipes, that's where we get pulled in, okay? We're the guys who set up, you know, 10 gig, 40 gig, connections at a time, connections, okay? And we can see how much capacity is available in the network. So how do we get the application guys, CDNs and stuff, making better use, okay? What are the roadblocks? The core networks usually consist of more than one layer. Applications know about the IP layer. Nobody wants to know about this GMPLS stuff, this plumbing that I work in. Plumbing's really important, right? You know, we know that in our houses, particularly in your kitchen and bathroom, but nobody really likes to get into the details of it, okay? GMPLS routing exposes the full network topology, okay? And it gets at the PC. It's too much information, or it requires specialized knowledge to do it. We have, in the optical case, we have something called routing and wavelength assignment, which is a nice complex thing that we know how to do. We have algorithms for it, but nobody at the application layer wants to deal with that. Okay? GMPLS signaling, which allows you to set up these optical pipes rather quickly, seconds or less, because we use it for restoration, that's really defined for peers, or we do kind of have a uni, but you have to know the whole language up above. So the question is, how can we make the connection to them? So, next slide, please. So, in the draft, we hit two cases. I'm only going to talk about two use cases. One is we call end system aggregation. Everybody else here would think about that as a CDN talking to the network to arrange more bandwidth to suit the CDN. So, we already heard about the CDN case, use cases coming up. How do the CDNs get more bandwidth from the network? Especially if it dynamically varies. That's one of the cases we talk about. The other case we're talking about comes in with cloud computing, data centers talking to data centers for storage or compute purposes. Okay. A generic optimization problem kind of goes with this. And then we have some interfaces. Next slide, please. So a generic looking picture, large data centers, separate businesses with their data centers. They outsource some services. Okay. It could be for peak usage, for example, or another usage I just read about a couple months ago is like somebody like Zynga. They actually will rent space first on the large data center for their new rollout, and only if the new game is a success will they pull it in and build out their own data centers. That's going to be using bandwidth across the network. That's where we come in, okay? Significant bandwidth, okay? 10 gig pipes, things that use up most of a lambda. Next slide, please. Okay. So when we look at this as an optimization problem, we have things like the cost of the compute servers, right? If you look at large data centers, you'll see different pricing based on sometimes even different times of day. It gets pretty elaborate. We got reserved, we got on demand, we got spot markets. We got compute constraints, and of course, us, the network plumbers, we impose network constraints, path constraints, latency between sites, but bandwidth, okay? And and different costs, different providers, whether you're going to do congestion-based pricing, all those represent an optimization problem. Okay, next slide, please. The other thing on top of that, and this is what we do pretty well because we deal with big pipes, we have to be able to restore them quickly. So the GMPLS guys always make sure we have not one, but two or three different methods of restoration, linear, rings, mesh-based restoration. Make sure you have your independent data centers, backup data centers, and be able to switch and fail over quickly. Next slide, please. Okay. So we want to deal with server failures, network response to those failures, network failures, and coordinated maintenance operations. Next slide. So, trying to get our handle around this, we say, well, what kind of interfaces might we need? Well, the first thing we wanted a user, a data center, going to use big pipes, first thing they need to do is ask what kind of services they can get, a network query. That looks a lot to us because we're plumbers, so we don't want to have to do as little high protocol work as higher level protocol work as possible. Looks a lot like what we see Alto doing, Alto going to with the CDN case, being able to query information. We're used to throwing around network maps that are graphs, but they may be abstractions of the graphs. Okay, we don't necessarily going to. We have this issue about confidentiality of how much people want to share their information. Right now, for example, certain carriers like AT&T will have an optical mesh service that you go through a web portal if you're a large user, and you can actually go and rearrange your optical connections through a web portal. Okay. So same kind of issues, though. A map, costs. We have some things that might be a little bit more flexible where when do you actually need all that bandwidth, now or sometime in the future? Okay. One thing we're used to dealing with, which is not a part of Alto right now, is dealing with reservations, actually going and grabbing large pieces of bandwidth. The other piece that we're looking at is recovery, because we're used to doing lots of recovery. So this is what I'd call research work. We brought this to the IRTF. We're going to be having a meeting Wednesday night at 8 to 9 p.m. to go over some of these things. Once again, that's why we're here watching Alto closely, and I will read the CDN and usage draft very carefully. But I'm not expecting to be able to, at this point, to be able to put any of our extra requirements into any of these things. But this is what we're looking at it from. So if you want input, whether it's on the CDN case, from folks that are used to delivering quickly large chunks of bandwidth, we're the right people to talk to. We've been doing GMPLS, we've been doing optical networking for a long time, and we're gonna be coming here and trying to help out at as much as we can on those things that are currently in charter. And I think, next slide, I think that's it. Yeah.
So we are 10 minutes ahead of schedule. If you have questions or comments,
if
you ever read the draft.
Matej Timalik speaking. I think I've seen the slides last time, or not exactly the same one, but The first point I see, it's in conflict with the current charter or understanding of Alto. That Alto is only this one, yeah. That you have like you want to get to know what is the current bandwidth available on a certain path through a network. And from the current understanding, I would say it's out of the scope because it's like a highly dynamic sort of information. So, and at some point it was decided that this is in the beginning out of scope because we only want to have like rather static things going into the other server, but that's something probably then the working group would need to be discussed if this would fall into scope or not.
Just so you know, the reason it was out of scope, I think, is because exactly like you said, it was envisioned for like home subscribers where we don't know or we may not want to reveal it, right? So I guess I just wanted to know just to be more specific, what kind of locations do you mean here? Do you mean, is a location a data center?
We were talking between large data centers, okay. For example, or between major nodes in your CDN. So we're talking about if you're trying, you're not going to see in an IP map, if you're going to run a test of IP bandwidth, you're not going to see what's available from the SONET, OTN, mm-hmm. or the WDM layer.
Right.
You would have to find that out by querying for it. That's not going to show up someplace. And it doesn't change as rapidly because you've got to ask for it and they're going to assign it to you. So it's not, it's, this is not aimed at, yeah, the home subscriber.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to try and get that bandwidth because it changes way too much. We're talking about, do you have another 40 gig Lambda available? Oh, I got 10 of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, now how much is that going to cost me?
I'll take one.
Yeah.
You already have one.
Yeah, you got one. You got multiple.
Yeah, just to one comment. I don't think is AltoScope because of the dynamicity of your scheme compared to Alto, because Alto can be quite dynamic as well by ingesting routing protocols topologies that can vary at any time. But what is very interesting in your approach is that, in fact, you're looking for a server that would allow different layers, in fact, to share some information. So so far we talked about network layer and application layer. Here is more the optical layer and maybe directly the application layer or the optical layer and the network layer. Clearly the protocol, the Alto protocol as it is designed today, will not work at all in this, starting with its encapsulation. So I think there is quite a bit of work to do in the Alto protocol, and or maybe just thinking about a different flavor of the Alto protocol. But the idea of having an interlayer service that would allow to extract a topology from one layer and to give it somehow to another layer, well, that's interesting. It is probably in line with the Alto architecture. And then we have to sort out the details.
But don't you think we have to keep it simple to the application layer? Because the process of being able to take a WDM, raw WDM bandwidth and deliver it up to IP raw bandwidth, we've got multiple layers of adaptation in between. But we would want to be able to get it to the point where we can say, here, data center, it's going to look like, you know, 38 gig of IP bandwidth, we're going to, if you want to buy it, we're going to make all the stuff work for you. Because part of, it's not just about is that, you know, segment, mm-hmm. Is that one Lambda from this point available, can we get all the other pieces together?
Yeah, I think it's more on the side of demand engineering. So we have
probably a good term.
MPLS traffic engineering, IP traffic engineering. This is more demand engineering. So you know what you want between site A and B, and then you want to figure out if the resource is available and who can help you finding your resource and maybe set it up. Again, the concept looks good. Now, in between the application, so the CDN, and the optical layer, you have many people. And at some point, you will have to deal with those people. So what is going to happen in a service provider network where the CDN will go directly to the optical layer requesting 40 gigs? What happens in the IP layer then? Are you going to automatically provision MPLS tunnels? And
I would probably say that I wouldn't want, I mean, as a carrier, when I deal with large carriers that have used, you know, my optical boxes, you'll go to them and they'll map it down. They may show you, everybody likes to advertise their fiber maps because it shows that they got connectivity. But they're not going to be letting you go and ask for
That's why
192 connection directly.
Yeah.
It'll become a service, right? But, and what they probably want to expose to you isn't too much different than saying this much IP bandwidth, which may be a certain level of latency.
Yeah.
Right? Because the application's not going to know what to do with too much more. But when it says go, we're going to make that happen, right? At the reservation stage. That's what we're used to doing, right? And, you know, we have interoperability events where we make sure that you can go from Ethernet, you know, asking for Ethernet bandwidth, making it happen all the way through down to the WDM, right? That OIF has those kind of interoperability events.
Actually, I'd like to follow up on the point of the reservations that you just mentioned. You said for the network query, you could envision that this could be the Alto interface, and you would get this abstracted topology map, and it's got the pits, and it's all nice and easy to handle.
Reviewing the concepts that Alto's got with the PIDs in particular, all those concepts we would not need to reinvent.
Right, right. So my question is, when you then you discover that maybe you have two PIDs and you really need more connectivity between those PIDs, and so that's where the reservations come into play. But then the question is, how do you go from this abstract topology back to putting a reservation to your network? So do you think this could be part of the Alto interface? You would tell the Alto server that this should be extended, or how do you translate from your abstract topology to some very specific points in your network where you want to add more capacity?
Greg, can I answer that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, that's why I don't think today's Alto protocol itself is ready for that. That's why we try to approach a more research problem, how to, once you abstract, how to de-abstract, pointing to mapping to your transport network. So that is not part of Alto or any protocol work, but some kind of more service plane type of work that needs to be done. That's why we try to approach as a research item first at this moment, and then try to show this can be done. Actually, network can be an application, and network can really interact together. So that is the key point of part of this CSO work, which is not part of any protocol work, per se.
Yeah.
So basically you're saying that there is a research problem in how, if you are at this abstract topology layer, how you get actually down to putting a bandwidth, a pipe into...
We have notions. Okay. We've seen notions of how you do some of these things, but some of those are very GMPLS-ish, right? We've got multi-layers, multi-region networks in GMPLS, and we have abstraction mechanism GMPLS. But
actually, tomorrow, 8 p.m. 301A, we are going to show some prototyping architecture. I think Volko kind of hit the right question. We're going to show what we are envisioning, so if you're interested, you can come and discuss further. Yeah. But that's not what Greg is talking today. Yeah.
Sorry, one very quick clarification question.
8 o'clock
p.m.
8 o'clock
p.m.
301A, room 301A, 8 p.m. Don't have to get up early for those from the West Coast.
I think I like the idea of network queries. Just want to get a sense about dynamics you might introduce. For example, you can imagine I have a bandwidth between New York and I'm from US, so from New York and Chicago, for example. And you see here, from Alto will tell you that's a bandwidth, that's about, say, 60 gigabits or whatever. How frequently would that information change? Suppose, for example, there is a disaster and everyone looking for bandwidth between New York and Chicago. Would that cause a lot of very dynamic requests, or typical would be very low dynamics? Because that probably implies some kind of like a very fast incremental update in Alto information. What's your sense?
We have situations like this that come up when we do restoration. If we have to do restoration at the WDM layer, we're going to be, especially mesh restoration, we'll be grabbing things so all at once. So generally, what we don't, though, do is we don't flood the OSPF information too rapidly. So sometimes for when we make, generally I'd say, updating the information 15, 30 seconds, it's going to be fine. There's another issue if we're really going to come up with fast response recovery information interfaces. That's another story, because we've always kind of separated those things out in GMPLS. But those are my rough notions, because...
Yeah, this question actually depends on the network capability, what underlying transport can do it or not, quickly or not. So we have layers of technology below IP layer. So depending on the choice of network technology, which is part of our research scope, but I think we are kind of going down OTN, WDM layer. So I think optical network can quickly adjust. It's not like IP networks in terms of OSPF dissemination. Optical network also use OSPF, but it's not like a lot of band is changing. It's either you're available or not in terms of lambda, so it can quickly adapt. So that's what we are envisioning at the first case. But we're not precluding other technology can be using network query. But depending on the application requirement, if you need real precise and exact bandwidth and no delay type of requirement, then I think optical network is suitable for that. But if not, IP networks or MPLST are perfectly fine. So depending on your application requirement.
Thanks very much for your time.
If people have not read the draft yet, please go ahead and read it. It's very interesting and one another cross-area topic that we're now used to meeting.